Okay, we begin a new section of the Rambam. It's at the end of the book of Zroim, Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel, the laws of Shmita and Yovel. The reason why it was suggested to learn this now is because in the next month it'll be a Shmita year. So we'll in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll discuss that, and we will learn the halachas. You know, we don't live there, but if you learn the halachas, it's the root of what it's all about. So as typical, we will start with the listing of the mitzvahs. Now, you're going to see that the laws of Shemitah and Yovel are comprised of 13 chapters. The first 9 chapters speak about the laws of Shemitah. The last 4 chapters speak about the mitzvah of Yovel. There's 22 biblical mitzvahs that are included in these laws. The first 9 mitzvahs deal with Shemitah, and the next 13 deal with Yovel. And both the laws of Shemitah and the laws of Yovel, there's laws regarding the land, and then there's the laws regarding loans, business transactions, things like that. So there's 2 different layers of laws, and by Yovel there's many other halachas as well. So let's quickly do the introduction over there, where the Rambam says, Yesh b'cholam shtayim v'asher mitzvahs, there's in general 22 mitzvahs, teisha mitzvahs asei, 9 positive mitzvahs, shlosh esrei mitzvahs los asei, 13 negative mitzvahs, v'zeh pratam, and these are the details. The first 9, again, are dealing with Shemitah. Aleph, the first halacha is, shetishbos ha'aretz, that the land has to rest, bashvis, in the 7th year, mimalachta, from work. No work is done in the 7th year. Beis, lo yavod avodas ha'aretz b'shana zu. There shall be no work done in this year. That's 2 things. One is an asay. The asay is, the positive is they should make sure that the land rests. The second is the negative, do not work on the land. Gimel, now that's avodas ha'aretz, work on the earth. The next mitzvah, gimel is lo yavod avodas ha'ilam b'shana zu. The next mitzvah is you don't work with the trees. There's going to be separate halachas. There's working the land, and then that's where you're dealing with the earth. And then there is the dealing with the trees. And there's 2 separate lavim, negative precepts regarding them. Dalet shelo yikzor ha-sofiach k'derech ha-kotzim. You don't harvest that which has been growing the normal ways of those who harvest. Hey shelo yikzor ha-nezirim k'derech ha-botzim. You don't pluck off fruits the way normally you pluck things off from a tree. Vav shiyashmit mashetotzi aretz. You have to leave over that which the earth will produce. Zayin. Now we leave the land laws. Now we go to the monetary laws. Zayin shiyashmit kolavoso. All loans are canceled. Ches lo yigos velo yit bahalova. You're not the lender is not allowed to press and claim from the borrower at that time. Now you might think if Shemitah canceled it out, I should refrain from lending people before the Shemitah. This is a separate negative precept not to refrain from lending before the Shemitah. So those are the 9 laws, mitzvahs regarding Shemitah. Moving on to the 13 laws regarding Yovel. Yud, number 10, Lispor Hashonim Sheva Sheva. It's a mitzvah to count 7 sets of 7 years. That's part of the mitzvah to count the cycle. Yud Aleph L'kadei Shnas HaChamishim, to sanctify the 50th year, which is the Yovel. What else do you do in the 50th year? Yud Beis, number 12, Litkoa B'Shofar B'Yud B'Tishrei, you blow the shofar on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. K'dei Lotzei Savodim Chavshi, so that will make known that the servants that had their ears pierced, who were Jewish servants to last the rest of their lives, they will go free when the shofar blows in the Yovel year. Yud Gimel number 13, Shlosavod Adam Hashem Azu. As well, we go back to agricultural laws. You don't work the land in a Yovel, in a Jubilee year. Yudasol Yitzar Sficha Kenegar Akotza. You don't harvest again the growths in front of the one who is harvesting. We'll discuss that in detail. Tesvav Shol Yitzar Nizrael Kenegar Abotzim. You don't again harvest the different fruits. Tazayin, Litein, Ge'ulu L'Arz V'Shanasu, you bring redemption to the earth on this year, and we'll see what that means. It means lands go back to their original owners. V'zeh Din Stei Achuzah Stei Mikna, this becomes the laws of lands that were your ancestral portions versus the lands that you purchased. Yudzayin, Shlo Timachar Aras Litzmisus, you never sell the land on a permanent basis forever. Yudches, Din Bat Erchamer, the special laws of homes that are in walled cities. Yudtesh, Shlo Yinchal Kol Shevet Levi Beretz Yisrael, that the tribe of Levi does not have an inheritance in the land of Israel, but rather, where do they live? Elanosim Arim, we give them cities to live in, but they don't own the property. Matan L'Shosam, it's a gift that they live in those cities. Chaf, Shlo Yikach Shevet Levi Babiza, when the Jews go to war and they take the loot, the booty of war, the tribe of Levi doesn't get any. Chaf Aleph, Litein L'Alavim Arim L'Shevet Shem, you have to give cities for the Levites to sit in, and their surrounding areas around those cities. Chaveh Shlo Yimacher Migrash Areim Ela Goalim Liolam Bein Lifnei Yovel Bein Lacher Yovel. You don't sell areas around the cities, but they are always redeemed, as I said, before Yovel, after Yovel. These are all laws we'll get to, and now we'll go into the details, and we'll deal primarily with the first three mitzvahs that we're going to deal with now. Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah Saseh, it's a positive mitzvah. Lishbos me'avodas ha'aretz v'avodas ha'ilan. For one to rest from doing work on the land and from doing work on the trees, b'shana shvis, in the seventh year. Now from the wording of the Rambam, it would appear that the mitzvah Shemitah, what is it a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah on the person that he should not work the land, or is it a mitzvah on the land that the land should rest? If you look in the wording of the Rambam, it seems to say it's a pas mitzvah that the person should refrain from working on the land. You would think from this wording of the Rambam that it's a mitzvah on the person not to work on the land, and it's not a mitzvah on the land to rest per se. And then it would come out from that that you think that a non-Jew could then work Jewish land biblically. And some make that deduction indeed from this words of the Rambam. However, when you look at the Rambam, when he lists, he has a separate listing of mitzvahs. The Rambam writes clearly, though, that the land must rest on the seventh year from any work. And that's what it's written in other listings as well. It seems that it's mitzvah, the land has to rest. Just similarly, for example, how your animals must rest on Shabbos. So then why is the Rambam saying that a person must rest? So you have to say like this, you have to explain the two expressions to not conflict with each other. You have to say that really it's a mitzvah for the land to rest. But that only happens, per se, when a Jew is not working the land. That's when you're saying the land is rested. However, so if a Jew would work the land is not resting. So the mitzvah for the land to rest, and the land rests when a Jew does not work on the land, which would appear if a goy would work on the land, then you maybe are not transgressing that aveira. Be that as it may, you can't do any work on that land. How do we know this? Shenemer, the pasuk says, "Vishav saha aretz Shabbos Lashem." The earth, the land rests a day, a year of rest for Hashem. Number one, that's the first thing. The second thing, Venemar also says, Becharish uvakatsir tishbos. You will rest it during the normal plowing time and during the harvest time. You will rest it. This is the positive mitzvahs that are telling you to rest and not use land. So when you refrain from working, you are fulfilling the positive mitzvah of having the land rest. Now, on the other hand, V'chala'isa melacha mi'avodas haaretz. If anyone does any work from the work of the land, if you do work, and from the wording of the Rambam that says if anybody does work, it would include women in this as well, which is an interesting insight. Why is this an interesting insight? Because usually women are exempt from mitzvahs that are time-bound. And this is a time-bound mitzvah because it's bound to only one out of the 7 years. So that's a time-bound mitzvah. So a lot of discussion in the commentaries, why are they obliged in this mitzvah?
But there are loves here.
What? Oh, so there's one answer this can be given. It's similar to Shabbos. Just like women, Shabbos is a time-bound mitzvah too, but they have to keep the mitzvah Shabbos. Because the rule is, anyone who has to keep the negative parts of Shabbos, has to keep the positive parts of Shabbos. So they say the same thing over here. There's negative aspects that a woman is obliged not to work on the land. So then we have to oblige her in the positive parts. The other answer, there's many other answers. Another answer is, the only time women are exempt from time bound mitzvahs, mitzvahs apply to what they have to do to themselves, such as tefillin, tzitzis, that those are mitzvahs they do to themselves. This is not a mitzvah they do to themselves. It's a mitzvah of the land, per se. So that could be a difference with that as well. Be that as it may, women are obliged in this mitzvah as well as men are. So number one, may avodas ha'aretz. So anyone who does avodas ha'aretz, work on the land, and that would be planting, and that would also be harvesting, because that's work on the land. Oha ilanos, or work on the tree, which would mean planting a tree or taking fruits off of the tree, we'll see. If you do any of those activities, bitel mitzvah saseh, you've nullified the positive mitzvah. You have to be very careful here, what's going on over here. There's a positive mitzvah to have the land rest and the trees rest. So you can't do anything that takes away from that rest, be that in the beginning, in the plowing part of that, or if it's in the planting part of that, that would be a problem. Now, and if you do that, you'd be nullifying the mitzvah. Now, more than that, if you're going to also, ve'over alosaseh, you also will transgress negative commandments. The negative commandments, just be careful, they're worded a bit differently. Shenemar, and the Rambam only gives you part of the pasuk. It says, sadcha lo sizra, you shall not seed your land. V'charmecha lo sizmor, and your vineyards you will not pluck off the grapes off of the vineyards. So one is planting, that's for the land, and one is plucking off, that's for the trees, like vineyards are like trees, for that. Now the pasuk does go on. The Rambam doesn't bring, but it, the Rambam obviously wants you to, excuse me, like v'chulo, the rest of the pasuk. It says, esfiach kitzircha lo tiksor, you don't harvest things that grow, that's more of a land law. That's in Venezuela, lo sisor. You don't pluck off the grapes as well. Because it's a year of rest. So it could be there's some words missing in the Rambam, as we'll see, but there's specific things that you have to do that you're not allowed to do, and that's what the Rambam lists. Beis. Now, very important law coming up now. But when, remember, this is a negative commandment. If you transgress a negative commandment, what's the punishment?
Lashes.
So now the question is, what will you be lashed for and what will you not be lashed for? So Rambam says in Halacha Beis, Ein Aleika Min HaTorah, biblically, you will only get lashed, Ella, only for the following activities. If you do them during Shemitah, then you've transgressed the negative. Al Hazria, for planting, because the Torah says, sod chalo tizra, don't plant. So if you plant, you're violating the biblical prohibition, you get lashed for it. Ol azmira, or for plucking off the grapes, or the fruits off of the trees, because that Torah clearly says, lo sizmor, you shall not take them off. Ve'al haketzira, and for harvesting the grains, or rather, I meant al hazmira. Let me go back on that. V'char mechalo sizmor. Really, sizmor is what? To prune. It's pruning it. So for pruning which is really, what is really pruning? When you're pruning a tree, it's almost like the planting as well, right? Lo sizmor. So v'char mechalo sizmor, you don't prune your vineyards. So those are the explicit lavin that are mentioned over here for the planting on the earth and the pruning. Va'al ha'kitzira, and also for harvesting the grains, when you're cutting the entire thing out of the ground, let's say wheat, you're cutting it out of the ground. These are the ones that Torah specifically mentions. O'al ha'bitzira, or plucking off the grapes. Ve'echad ha'kerev, doesn't matter if it's a vineyard, ve'echad sharlas, or it's other trees. These are the four that the Torah specifically said. Sod chalo sizra, you shall not plant your land. So if you plant anything, you clearly are violating the biblical prohibition. Karma chalo sizra, you shall not prune the vineyards. And then as the pasuk went on and said, and you don't harvest what was grown, you don't pluck off the fruit. So what is the real, what really you have is you've got what was sort of planting the earth, seeds, right? And then pruning the trees. That's like also improving the trees. It's like planting the trees. And then there's the harvesting of the grain and the harvesting, the plucking off of the fruits. Those are the ones you'll be biblically transgressing and you should get lashes. Now, Gimel, okay, we'll stop over here for now and we'll continue Gimel after Marv. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, Marotza, Kodesh Baruch. Okay, we're continuing now, Halacha Gimel. Now the Rambam makes an interesting observation. If you see, what were the four negative mitzvahs? We had planting and pruning. Okay? And then we had harvesting and plucking off the fruits. So now the Rambam makes an interesting observation, Halacha Gimel. Uzmira, okay, pruning the trees, which really facilitates better growth. Right? So that's Bichlal Zriya. Isn't that included in planting? It's a tolda. It's like a derivative of planting. So why would the Torah have to mention, once it mentions planting, why would it have to mention pruning, which is a derivative of planting because it enhances the growth? Why would you have to do that? And similarly, Ubitzira and plucking off the grapes, isn't that Bichlal Katsira? Isn't that a derivative of harvesting? So why would the Torah mention two things that are derivatives of two other things that are clear? Just say the main ones, we'll understand the derivatives from it. So here, V'lama pratan akasav, why did the Torah go into the detail? And look what the Rambam says. Loimer lach to teach you, al shtei tolados elu bilvad hu chayav. That only for those two derivatives alone are you chayav, are you obliged to get lashed biblically from this. Like, in contradistinction, for example, the laws of Shabbos. The laws of Shabbos is 39 avos melachos. There's primary activities, and then there's derivatives of them. If you do any of those things on Shabbos, you're biblically chayav for the primary ones and the derivatives. Here we see that the Torah mentioned only these four types of activities, these two primary ones of planting and harvesting, and the two derivatives of them, of pruning and plucking off the grapes, to say that only on those two primary and those two derivatives, if you do them, have you violated the biblical negative prohibition, and will you get lashed biblically? And any other derivative of working the land, which would certainly be a derivative, however, or imshara of us or of the other primary activities, which will be nisparshvin, and that will be explained in this halachas, which are coming up, ein alokaleim, you won't get lashed for any of the other types of activities. There's a lot of other types of farming activities that happen. You will not get lashed biblically. Avomakin oisoi makas martis, you'll get rabbinic lashes for that. So that's a big difference if you're violating the biblical halacha or you're violating the rabbinic halacha. So that's what Torah mentioned those four. Now what the Rambam is going to do for the next number of halachas is go through examples of the derivatives that are only prohibited rabbinically, and he'll go through others that aren't prohibited at all, and that's what the next number of halachas are going to be. Now the next halacha, Dalit, it's going to seem to be a contradiction in the Rambam, and we'll have to read it carefully to see why it's not a contradiction. So what would you say about plowing right now? Before we look ahead, what would you say, what would be the violation of plowing the land?
Preparing it for seeding.
But what would you transgress?
Zriya.
What?
Zriya.
Okay, what would you get? Would you get lashed for it?
No.
You wouldn't get lashed for it? Okay, let's see what's going to happen over here. So, let's look at Halacha Dalet. Ketzad. Hachofer, if you dig the ground. Or hachoresh, or you plant, or you plow the ground. Okay? Now, you're going to see in a minute what's going to be halacha there. Now, letzorach hakarka, you want to improve the quality of the land, right? That's certainly work on the land, right?
But you wouldn't get biblical lashes.
Now, letzorach hakarka. Oh, Or hamesakel, a person who removes stones from the earth, because that makes the earth better as well. Or mezabel, or if you put manure, you fertilize the land. Ukiyotzvehem mishar avodas haaretz, are similar to other activities of the land. V'chein hamavrich, or someone who bends a branch of the tree back into the ground, so it'll grow out another one. O hamarkiv, or if you graft one branch of a tree onto another branch of a tree. O anotea, or if you're planting a tree. These are all obvious agricultural activities, right? But these were not mentioned in the Torah, per se. Ukiyotzim avodasam, or any other similar types of work for the tree. Makin oisoi makas mardis midivrei. You only get rabbinic lashes for that. Now, we gotta understand, but wait a minute, didn't the Torah say that you're supposed to rest from plowing? Torah says the land's supposed to rest. It says, Bechori shuva kotzir tishpos. It's supposed to rest from plowing and from harvesting. But you gotta remember, that's only expressed in a positive way. It say you will positively rest. Didn't say you cannot plow. It says you will rest from plowing. That's the positive mitzvah of resting from plowing. So therefore, you're resting from plowing. If you transgress an essay, you don't get lashed. So therefore, but there's no law that says you cannot plow, even though it's a law above a chlal essay, but it's still, you don't get lashed for that. So therefore, although the Torah says you will rest from plowing, it didn't say thou shalt not plow. And therefore, if you're plowing, since it goes over the overall category of you're doing some type of farming over there, and you're improving the land and all that, but that's only a derivative of the ones that were primarily said that you cannot do. And therefore, you only will get rabbinic lashes for all those activities that you do. Halacha Hey will now give us more rabbinic prohibitions. Now, what would you think if you'd plant a tree that could not produce fruit? So you might think, what would be wrong with that? Because I'm not even getting any fruits from it. So the Rambam says, a noitin bashvius afilu ilan sruk. You can't plant in a Shemitah year even a tree that does not give off any fruit. That's all going to be rabbinically prohibited. Now you have yaboles, literally in Talmudic parlance, means a wart. Now, of course, trees don't have warts because they have growths. In other words, you plant a tree, you want to have oranges. To get the oranges, you can have little growths that come off of the branches. It isn't food, it's just like garbage, so to speak. So, let's say now you're cutting off some of that growth, and it's not really fruit or anything, but you can't do that either. You can't cut off any leaves. And you can't remove or cut off any shoots that are dried out. Now, that's not exactly pruning per se, because what's actual pruning? Pruning is when you cut off a branch that really it's a branch that is really growing stuff, but not as good as the other branches. So therefore, you're willing to take a little loss and cut off some of the branches that are producing, but not so well, so that the other ones will produce better. That's classic pruning. That's the biblical prohibition that you would get biblical lashes for. So although here, you're cutting off leaves, you're cutting off dried off shoots, branches, right? Where it's just about the same as pruning, but you're not really cutting off anything of any value per se. Therefore, it's one step down. Therefore, it only become rabbinically not allowed, and you only get rabbinic lashes for that. Similarly, velo ye'abek es samarto. You don't cover up with dirt protruding roots, but avak with dirt. I guess if there are protruding roots, it would weaken the growth of the overall plant. I guess if you cover it up with dirt, you will not allow it to grow anymore. That would enhance the growth of the rest of the tree. Again, that's only rabbinically not allowed. These are all rabbinics now. What if you want to make a bit of smoke at the bottom of the tree? Why? So that worms that are clinging onto the tree, that are damaging the tree, would get killed from the smoke. You're not allowed to do that. This is all derivatives of pruning. And what if, let's say, you want to smear onto the saplings and an abrasive material with an abrasive taste, that what'll happen? So you don't want shoyochel osa of kishurach. You don't want the birds to eat from the tree when it's soft. So you smear on it some type of abrasive, foul-smelling thing. It will not damage the tree, but will keep the birds away. Velo yosech es hapagim. You also cannot smear the pagim. Pagim are figs that have not yet ripened yet, and they're not ripening fast enough. So one of the agricultural things they would do, they'd smear it with different types of ointments, whatever, to hasten the process of the ripening. Can't do that either.
So if there's a blight in the year, there's nothing you can do.
So hold on. That's going to be different. We're going to talk later on to stop financial loss is different than to have it grow faster. Pruning and all these things, it's not the animal's going to, the tree's going to die, but it's you want to make it grow better. Making it grow better, you can't do. But we will see if there's going to be direct damage, such as watering, for example. If you don't water the tree will die. You're going to be able to water it under certain circumstances. So there is going to be an overall leniency that if it's to prevent it from destruction, then that's okay. Here, it's really just helping the growth. Similarly, velo yinkovo some, or let's say some of the figs that are not ripening, they put holes in them so they would ripen faster. You can't do that. Velo yirchoch esanetios, and you can't wrap up and take a whole bunch of branches and tie them together so that they will grow straighter. Velo yiktom, and you can't chop off the tops of some of the branches. Velo yifah. Velo yifaseg es ilonos, and you can't support trees. You know, let's say you have a tree that's very young and very soft. You want to support it, put things under it, just prop it up. You can't es ilonos. You can't do that. V'chein sharkolos, and any other work of the trees, even though it's not explicitly said you can't do in the Torah, these are all derivatives, and they're rabbinically prohibited. Now, what happens if you do any of the activities we just mentioned in Halacha Hey? V'im osa achas me'elu b'shizu. Any of these activities during Shemitah year, makin also makas mardis, you get rabbinic lashes. Let's do one more Halacha Vav. Now, ein matzitzin es ha'ur be'isha sakonim mipnei shehi avor sakarka. Let's say you've got a swamp that's got a lot of branches in the swamp. And what do you want to do? You want to light a fire and burn all the branches that are in the swamp. You can't do that. Why not? Because this is also improves the quality of the ground. Because now that swamp land that's got all these branches, you can't plant in it. But now that I light a fire and burn up all the branches on the swamp land, it will now make the land possible for me to plant it. And therefore, that's a type of work, a derivative that's not allowed. Or what do you want to train a cow to plow? I want to train it. So now, how would you generally train it? You would train it by having a plow on the earth. In other words, you want the cow to practice making nice straight rows, whatever, that gets used to plowing. Now, and you really want to train it. Now, there's nothing technically wrong with training an animal to do something. But if you're training him and he's plowing the earth at the same time, it's like a psik resha. You can't tell me that he's not plowing the earth. So how can you train him during Shemitah without transgressing? Guess what? You train it on a sand dune. Because sand dunes, you can't plant in a sand dune. So if you want to train the cow, you can train him. Here chol means a sand dune, not a weekday. So it means, so if you want to train the cow, train it on a sand dune, because there, that's not the kind of ground that is being improved, because you don't plant in a sand dune, but you are now training the animal. Or let's say you need to test out some seeds. You don't know if the seed is a good seed. And you're gonna now make a big investment, you're gonna plant millions of seeds. What if they're faulty seeds? So you wanna make a little test run on some seeds to make sure that they're working. Well, usually the only way you're gonna test run it is if the seeds are gonna grow, and that's a problem right away if you take their Shemitah. So there's ways you can get around it. Vein poking as a shrine, but otzis mafu. You obviously can't check seeds, so what they would do, they wouldn't put it on the ground, they take a flower pot, be a random sample of earth. Well, you can't train, test the seeds by putting seeds in a flower pot with earth, because you're going to actually be growing stuff. That you can't do. But there's something you can do. But you can test it out in a flower pot filled with dung, because that's not the way to plant with dung. And we're speaking about a flower pot that does not have a hole, because that's a hole that it nurtures from the ground. So that would be the only way you could test out the seeds, because it's not the real way of planting, and it's also a flower pot without a hole in it, and therefore it's not that close to the planting exercise. Similarly, v'shoyrin es hazroim, you can soak seeds. Let's say the seeds are not yet going to be ready for planting. You want to prepare the seeds for planting. So you're not working on the ground at all. So you could soak them bashvis in the seventh year, kidei lezorim atzvi, in order to plant them in the seventh year, because you're not really doing any planting. You're just improving the quality of the seeds, but not improving the quality of the ground or the planting process. Also, umekaimin ha'aloye berosh hagag. You can support, it's a type of a plant called the aloe. You might think it's an aloe vera or whatever, plant, whatever, it doesn't say, but it's a fragrant type of tree. Where can you support them? Barosh Agag, if you're planting them on the roof, because that's not the way for them to be planted on a roof, obviously. And you want to do this to prevent them from any damage. So you have two points. You don't want it to be damaged, and it's not the normal way to plant something on a rooftop. Avolein mashkin also, but you can't water them, because you're not in general allowed to water things during a Shemitah year, because that would be improving the quality of the tree. We'll see in the next halachas tomorrow under what circumstances you may indeed water them.